Joining us on the telephone line, Diana Bronson, who is live at the UN Conference on Climate Change that is taking place in Copenhagen. Diana Bronson is a representative of the ETC Group, otherwise known as the Etcetera Group, which is a NGO which monitors geoengineering. Diana Bronson, how are you doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Maybe you can just give us a little update of what you've experienced so far. You've been there a couple days.
Well, actually, right now I'm in the NGO conference at the Climate Forum. We just did a workshop this morning that was jam-packed. It's all the events here are pretty jam-packed. There's a lot of people who live in Copenhagen and surrounding. I'd say the atmosphere at the NGO forum is completely different from the atmosphere at the UN forum. But both are crowded and busy and overwhelming and multicultural and interesting. You just get the feeling that people are a whole lot more committed at the NGO forum than you get the feeling that they're committed at the government forum.
Is there an atmosphere of sharing? Is there an atmosphere of getting things done actively?
Well, definitely at the NGO forum, people are very, you know, active, trading information, networking, making things happen, a million things going on at the same time. It's pretty dynamic. At the UN conference, people are rushing madly around, but it's very hard to get a sense of what's going on. Most of the drafting groups are closed to NGOs now, so unless you know exactly who is representing what country in what group and what they're wearing that day, it's very hard to track them down and have an influence on what they might say. We're very much in the stage of backroom deals, and there's a million side events there too, many of them quite poorly attended because people are just too busy doing other things. You wait a very long time to get your coat, to get food, to get into the building, to go from one place to another. So there's lots of logistical frustrations as well.
There were a lot of articles published here in Canada. In the George Monbiot article that we just read from the Manchester Guardian, there was also talk of Canada's cold reception in Bangkok and Barcelona. Maybe you could describe the mood, atmosphere of Canada's reception at these UN climate talks in Copenhagen?
Canada is a rogue state in this particular forum. I guess if you've read the Monbiot piece, then I don't need to go on too much about this, but it's really the first time I've been at a UN conference where you have to say, yes, I'm from Canada, on the non-governmental side. You really want to insist on that, because if you're on the governmental side, people are just very, very upset about Canada's lack of commitment to any kind of meaningful reduction in our emissions. They're upset at the amount of money and time Canada's putting into carbon capture and sequestration, which is an unproven and dangerous technology. The Canadian NGOs, there's lots of Canadian NGOs here, there's lots of Canadian young people, students, individual citizens who are concerned, and they're all pretty embarrassed and upset at the actions of the government of Canada as well. Diplomats on the front line, you know, they're professionals. They're probably embarrassed to be doing the dirty job they're doing. But it's not a good place to be a Canadian, you know. Nobody's going around with a flag on.
Wow. You mentioned government. You also mentioned technology. That is a key because your group, the Etcetera Group, is actually a watchdog that monitors the acceptable use of technology. The Stephen Harper quote was, the key to all of this is not the setting of targets. It is actually the development and implementation of technology. How does that reflect the mood of the delegates, especially from developing countries, who say the absolute goal of this climate conference should be the setting of targets?
Developing countries are, I would say, universally appalled and concerned by the lack of significant commitments from the Annex I countries in the Kyoto Protocol. The worst of the records on that is Canada. Developing countries want access to green technology. A lot of that technology has proprietary information or patents on it, so they can't access it without spending a lot of money. We believe that's inappropriate. We also are very much calling for an assessment of technologies before they are deployed. And we haven't yet won that in this declaration. About 200 organizations have now signed on to a common statement that's called Let's Look Before We Leap. And it's asking for evaluation and assessment of technologies for their social and environmental impacts before they are deployed and funded and supported through the UNFCCC. We do have some friends in the Bolivian delegation and some other countries that are a little bit willing to go ahead on this. You know, we've got a week to go, and there's going to be a massive amount of money and a new institution created to oversee technology. The declaration is called Let's Look Before We Leap. See it on our website. That's etcgroup.org. You can download it and you can sign it if you're representing an organization. We're not taking individual signatures, only organizations.
What are some of the standards and practices? What are some of the morals that this 200-group statement is calling for?
In 1992, in Rio, the world talked about the precautionary principle. And that was supposed to mean that even if there was not scientific certainty around something, that you could exercise precaution, that governments, in fact, had an obligation to exercise precaution in its execution. That notion has, in the intervening 18 years, become completely absent in these texts. So we want the precautionary principle applied. We want also marginalized communities, indigenous peoples, rural people, small farmers, you know, vast majority of the people in this country who are living in a state of want. There's a billion people in this world who are hungry. We need to look at what the impacts of technologies are going to be on them. For example, if we're going to grow monoculture tree plantations for biofuels in order to fuel the cars of the north, then we need to see what the people who live on those lands think about it before they are bought up by large corporations who are going to get carbon offsets for it.
Diana, we've been having some cell phone problems this morning. Maybe you can tell us what is upcoming. What is there to look forward to over the next couple of days?
Well, there's a big demonstration tomorrow. There'll be various actions over the next week, but things are going to get increasingly tense as we get down to the wire. And really, I'm sure that all the decisions are going to have to be made before the heads of state come in at the end of next week. So it's just going to get busier and busier.
And do you personally see anything positive coming out of the Copenhagen conference?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of good energy here. There's lots of international networking, good relationships that are formed. Whether or not we'll get anything good out of the official process remains to be seen.
Well, I hope we get some good weather, that's for sure. Diana Bronson from the Etcetera Group, based right here in Montreal, speaking to us live from the UN Climate Change Conference in Copenhagen. Diana, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Sorry about the cell phone. Totally. Technology can't solve everything.